So this Bible study, starting a new one, is called Encourage. Me and my sister were talking about this, and the question came up, how do we encourage? And it's something we all must do. Unfortunately, in this day and age, y'all hear me many times bring up 2 Timothy 3, and he calls it terrible times. In 2 Timothy 4, it says people will not put up with sound doctrine. And the reason why we're talking about those, because it's become the time of me. In 2 Timothy 3, where it says people will be lovers themselves, you go down the list, it's really talking about how we became the purpose and the basis. In 2 Timothy 4, it talks about how now we've structured worshiping of God and growing in God based on us. You know, gather around teachers to say what my itching ears want to hear. Do you know what I'm saying? Where I want to follow what I want to hear. And because of that, encouragement has become that. Okay, usually what encouragement means is come make me feel better. Y'all catch that? And that's where we failed. So encouragement has really gone downhill. They look for somebody to say the right thing. In fact, a lot of relationships people get into is because people know how to speak and say the right thing at the wrong time. You understand? And you get caught up in some game. They say they have the gift of gab. While in reality, no, they just deceive the heck out of you. And you allowed that to happen because encouragement wasn't meant to be on me feeling better. It was me being guided to be better. Do you understand that? So we're going to understand the concept of being encouraged and how that works. The word encouraged comes from the Greek word parakaleo. Parakaleo, which means to call near, invite, invoke by imploration, giving advice, or consolation, to beseech, call for, be of good, comfort, desire, to give, to exhort, to entreat, and to pray. Okay? So all of these are very important things when it comes to encouraging. Okay? And what we must do when it comes to encouraging. If you notice other words that we'll use that really mean encouraging or comes in different form is to urge. When there's something you're supposed to do and I'm urging you to do it, man, you really need to, you know, you need to, like we were talking about if a homeless person and if it's somebody you know, you say you really need to go down to the place and sign up for this job, man. You really need to start doing what your boss tells you. You really need to start going to work on time. You see what I'm saying? That's an urging. Or it means to comfort. Once again, not based on you, but as we're going to see in this, based on God's word. There's a difference with me going, everything's going to be okay based on you, to where I go, all things work for the good of those who love him based on God. Do you see what I'm saying? To where you're saying, this thing I'm going through, as uncomfortable as it is, I find comfort in him. Not, oh, thank you. Now I'm going to look forward to it turning out the way I want it to turn out. You see the difference? Okay? And then it also comes in the form of motivation. As a person is doing it, you see it starting to get to them. Okay? When we walk in this path, one term that's used a lot in God's word is perseverance. Perseverance has to be used. If I was doing a walk that I liked, would you have to tell me to persevere? I mean, have you ever gone out on a beautiful day and you're just enjoying yourself so much and somebody says, keep going, you can make it. Did they ever have to do that? Okay? But usually when you're walking and it's hot and you're tired, you just want to go and you want to turn around, that's where somebody says, come on, let's go a little further. Come on, that's perseverance. So when we motivate, we're encouraging that person to keep going. Why? Because what they're going through may not be comfortable. Once again, if it's based on me, I'm going to struggle. So the motivation has to get my focus or something else. My focus on the right focus in order for me to keep going, if that makes sense. You understand that? And it also means to remind. To remind. I many times in the Word, when you go, you know the Bible says, and you remember what the Word says, and you remember what we're supposed to do, you're reminding us sometimes of what you're really here for, what you're really supposed to do. And those are just some of the words that the word encourage means. Now, here's the problem. Encouraging based on self and others is wrong. It must be based on God. Give an example. So you're dealing with somebody, a difficult person. Okay, based on the Bible, it tells me to love my enemies, basically tells me to put up with them to a certain extent in order to minister to them. It tells us to bear with one another, so on and so forth. If I encourage based on you, I would go, man, if they're really bothering you, I get away from them. You know what I mean? They're no good, and, you know, you don't need that in your life. You need peace of mind. Avoid them. Fooey on them. And then we go, yeah, I don't need to be around a person I don't like. Okay? That's me encouraging you based on you. That's wrong. Now, I'm encouraging you based on me. I'm real proud of what you're doing. I know I wouldn't do it. And if you stop now, man, I think you did a great job. And I am encouraged to see what you're doing based on how I see it. Now, once again, that's based on me. Sounds good. Still wrong. Because I'm making it based on how I feel. Very dangerous one, a very common used one. In which now they're seeing somebody that is proud of them, but I don't care if you're proud of me. And I don't mean that in a mean way. It means of your being proud of me does nothing to do with God. When it's based on God, it'll be fully based on what God says concerning that person. So when do I stop? Only when God says it. How long do I go? As long as God says it. How much do I deal with them? Not only he says turn the other cheek, he says, they say walk a mile, you're going to walk 2 miles. They ask for your cloak, you give them your other cloak. You know, you understand that. In other words, oh no, you're going to go that extra mile to really eliminate you. You understand that. So the key is, encouraging is always, everybody say always, based on God. Always based on God. Okay? And that's the key. Too many times I still hear people emotionally encouraged, which is not encouragement. Intellectually encouraged, which is not encouragement. Culturally encouraged, which is not encouragement. And here's the G, ignorantly encouraged. All of those are not encouragement. All of those comes in forms that deal with self and deny God. Amen? It's always going to be spiritually. Amen? Okay. So now, encourage one another is necessary to protect us from being misled by sin. Part of God's protection for me, from me, is you. Did y'all catch that? Part of God's protection of you from you is me. Alright? And unless I'm doing what I'm supposed to, I'm not allowing God to use me to help you stay away from you. Watch what he says here. Hebrews 3 verse 12 says, see to it. Now first of all, he puts that there as a warning of, make sure you're doing this. And usually when he gives some of these warnings, he says, I'm going to hold you accountable for this. I'm going to hold you accountable for it. He says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. So that's the first thing. Okay? So your purpose, and when you look at your purpose, is it based on, fully based on God, or is it a purpose based on sin and not believing in God? And that's what I'm saying. You can call yourself a Christian and watch a person's life. What is it based on? Is it based on their comfort, their happiness, their desire, their whatever? That's an unbelieving, sinful heart. And it says that turns away from the living God. There are some people who are looking for an excuse. Remember I said we love to play the victim? There are some people who are in church waiting for that moment to go, see God, I tried, I'm done. They're just looking for that moment. And this is where we have to, the motivation and the right encouragement, because some people, that's all they're looking for. I did it, now I'm going to go out here and live foolishly and say, I tried, and it doesn't work that way. But watch what he says. But encourage one another, how often? Daily. Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. That means every day. Why? So that no one of you may be hardened by sin's what? Deceitfulness. Now, what is deceitfulness? Deceitfulness is when I mislead you with a lie. Okay? But remember, you don't know it's a lie. You're being misled by it. Okay? And sin deceives. In fact, like I've said before when we did the sermon on sin, we like sin. That's why we do it. Nobody goes out here and say, oh, this painful sin. I'm going to keep doing it because I like pain. Well, other than people like pain. But you understand that. Okay? We're usually doing something that we enjoy, that we desire. I want some way of doing it all the time. And it deceives. This can't be wrong. This has to be okay, right? Right? If it feels good, if I'm enjoying it, then it's okay, right? It's not as bad as what they're doing, right? Right? And you see what I'm talking about. Okay? And it deceives us because there are some things in the Bible that right now, all of us still even do today, we reason it away. The Bible is very clear on what we are to do on certain things. We'll read it, and well, I can't see God being upset about. You bring up hair. Like I said, we talk about that. 1 Corinthians 11:3. He gives a whole detail on hair. Men not having long hair. Women not having short hair. And we still, Pastor, I can't believe you're talking about that. No, I'm telling you what the Bible says. Yeah, but I can't believe you're talking about that. Why? Because to us, it's meaningless today. Right? All right? It shouldn't be a problem here. But when it says, let us in, so that none of you may be hardened, that's exactly what has happened and is happening. Remember, we did the Order My Steps in the sermon on hardening of the heart. Hardening of the heart is when your purpose becomes so set in its ways. And think about it. If all of you look around and I asked you, okay, what's keeping you from being where you're supposed to be in your walk? I can give you the answer if you don't already know it. It's because there's a certain part of yourself that's hardened. Now, how do you know it's hardened? There's certain parts of you that when you got saved has not changed. There's an attitude part of you has not changed. Activity that you're doing has not changed. A feeling that you have about somebody else that you're being led by has not changed. Not the feeling that you're being led by. Y'all see where I'm going with this? That's what it means when it says hardened. It's not flexible. Remember, we're supposed to be clay where he takes us and molds us. But unfortunately, you ever get that hard piece of clay where it breaks off? Even though the rest of it's molding, we have that in our lives, or a bunch of our lives is that way. You know what I mean? There's something or some things about us that is still hardened, and sin allowed us to keep going on. I'm not changing that. I'll change all this other stuff. I want credit for it, but I'm not changing that. Y'all see where I'm going with this? You understand that? Okay? I'm not changing that. And because I'm not changing that, it's deceitful. Because sin will say, well, you're doing everything else right, but aren't you supposed to treat yourself? And this is where encouragement. Encouragement is to keep you from being deceived by sin. It's to keep me from being deceived by sin. This is why encouragement, as we read this, we have to be careful. That's why if my encouragement was, Marvin, what are you doing? What is the matter with you? That's my encouragement. All I might do is scare Marvin away. Or Marvin may go, I just can't let Pastor Keith see it anymore because he embarrassed me, he bothered me, he yelled at me, I don't want to. So now all she's doing is keeping it from me. So she's becoming better at hiding it. Right? To where encouragement is going to show, hey sis, I know you're going through a struggle. What can I do to help? Do you understand where I'm coming from? Now I'm going to help and be gentle because that's what the word says. Right? I'm going to be correct in the word that I'm giving. You see what I'm saying? My emotion can't. I got to be quick to listen, slow to speak, restore gently. Do you understand how this works? Okay, so the whole concept of this is encouraging is always based on God and to protect me from me. Now, we are commanded to meet together to encourage each other. A big portion of church is for you to come like you're doing this here. And then maybe not even just in that sermon itself, but afterwards you meet together to talk about it. Okay? Like I said, I know I give a lot of information in the sermons. And I know I should be getting a boatload more questions. Or I should see a huge change. And unfortunately I'm not seeing either. And I'm speaking as a pastor on this, you know, same way Paul was to his flock. One or the other, you should see a massive change or a whole lot of questions. Both would be fine. When you get neither, what we're doing is either we understand it, we're saying, got it, God, but I'm not knowing it. Or we're going, I ain't studying it. Took all this time to hear what he said, and I got a little bit of it, and he'll go over it again. So y'all see where the problem is. Everybody with me? Okay? And I'm not saying it to beat you up, even though you may feel beat up. I'm saying it to make you go, wait, there's a responsibility with this. Remember I told you, you don't necessarily have to come because this is for you, but you're still going to have to go through the test. Okay, and a lot of you are going to feel, oh God, why are you doing this to me? God's like, I gave you the answer. Wait, gave me the answer. Majority of stuff, I'm sorry, everything you go through, you will have what you need for it. But if you're not prepared for it, that's on you. How do I know this? Give me one verse to let me know that I know this. And I say this verse all the time. How do I know that you got what you need to be prepared for any problem that you're going through? And if you're not prepared for it, it's just because you didn't prepare for it. How do I know this? What saying what? Keep going. Yes. Yep, that one verse is powerful and made right there. His divine power is given everything. But then you read further, it's saying through the knowledge of him. So the only way I can use now what he gave me is growing in him. And then it goes on and explains how that whole entire thing works. You see where I'm going with this, okay? So it's saying now you have it, you're going to go through stuff. You're either going to go through stuff that feels real good, or you're going to go through stuff that feels real bad. God never said he was going to take either of those away. He said, I'm preparing you for it. You go through it and fail, you can't go, well, God, I didn't know it felt so good. Or, God, it felt so bad, I couldn't help myself. You go, no, I prepared you for it. They understand that. You chose not to be prepared. Okay? So we come to church, and iron has to sharpen iron. We did accountability to each other. And church means, as I'm studying, you're studying, we get together, we go over it. Either we'll have questions, or we see change. We see adjustment. And that's why it says in Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. You see that now, Bible study. I mean, you know, we got very handful. We got small churches it is. And that's not just FSG. This happens in many churches. You know what I mean? They have a massive group of people who come on Sunday, if they do, and very small group come on Wednesday, and throughout the week maybe one or two sporadically. And people got things to do. Okay, I get it. I understand that. However, those other things are portions of your life while God is your life. Does that make sense? So if God is your life, what's more important, the portion or the all? You understand what I mean? Okay? And he, once again, he allows us to show it by how we react and what we do. So with that said, he's saying let's not do like some people are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, recognizing I really need you more and more, and you really need me more and more. Okay? Please be careful not to think encouragement is only for when you're going through a hard time. That's where we really mess up. In fact, encouragement is really needed when you're going through a good time. Why? Huh? Complacency. Exactly. Complacency. You feel comfortable, you're not going to budge. And a lot of verses show those people in that spot are in major trouble. Major trouble. At least those who are going through the trouble will go, can I get some help? You understand that? So encouragement is needed for every situation. Because every situation is dangerous. Satan made you think only the uncomfortable situations are. So he said, you go help those people while the rest of us are led to sin. Do y'all know what I mean when I say led to sin? Okay? Remember the led to sin church? On the surface, huh? Exactly. And if you heard theirs, they're basically saying, we're good. Go help another church. That people would think. Now, if you heard somebody say that, you would go, wow, they really got it together. Doesn't it sound that way? I got what I need, God. Go help one of the other churches. And they missed it. A person really has God going, God, I need you and every ounce of you all the time. That's the person who gets it. Okay? Person who doesn't, no, I think I got it all figured out. I'll call you when I need you, God. That's what the Laodicean church was doing. He was like, you guys are pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. In other words, y'all setting yourself up for disaster. Are you really that stupid? And they really think, we have enough money, we got enough strength, we look good, everything about us, we have everything that the world says we need. And the Satan goes, I'm going to jack them up. I'm going to wait. I'm going to mess them up. Because they're putting all their guards down because they think they got it all together. Y'all get this? Okay. So the encouragement does this. It teaches us in God, not in ourselves. Now, the main source of our encouragement is God. Everybody understand that? He is the main source of our encouragement. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, you told us to encourage. Yes. What are we? Starts with an I. Instruments. Instruments. Exactly. Vessels, instruments, however you want to put it. We are used by God. That's how you know when you're encouraging correctly, because you're being used by God. Because then I'll come to you and I'll feel sorry for you. But I'll be spiritually led to talk to you. Y'all see the difference? Okay? Sometimes if I feel sorry, what I'm supposed to say, I won't say. Too many parents need to punish their children, spiritually says it, but emotionally, well, right? Kids will be kids. Y'all see what I just did there? Okay? Spiritually, I know what the word says about discipline. Emotionally, if I let them go this time, you see the problem. Okay? Understand that encouragement comes from God. So the only time you'll hear me saying it about my child is when it comes from God. Other than that, when I hear me say it, I say, get behind me, Satan, because you are a stumbling block to me, feelings. Which feelings are? I see more parents do that. Oh, And we have legitimate excuses, but our answer is usually not from God. I can be guilty of that too. All of us are guilty of it. If you watch how we handle certain things, the compassion we may have may be correct, but then the answer, nothing to do with God. Amen? No amen? Okay, all right. Praise God. Look what it says. How God encourages us. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17 says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace, y'all catch that? By his grace, gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Okay? This is why you got to understand what grace is. Okay? That's why it says the grace of God. How do I get grace? It's a gift. It's a gift, but how do I get it? It's a gift. So everybody get it? Through his word. Word gives me. There you go. Thank you. Remember, you get grace through faith. If you don't have faith, you don't have grace. Is the grace still there? Absolutely. I have no access to it if I don't have faith. If I don't have his word, I don't have faith. Do y'all get this? So if I get complacent and I'm not reading my word, I don't have faith. Guess what? I don't have grace. Encouragement, I don't have. Or if I get the wrong word, or if I don't get faith. But it says he gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. So he offered this and gave this gift to us. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Now look at this right here. People say, okay, so if I have that, how come I don't feel it? Ah. It goes back to what he says in 2 Peter. His divine power has given us. One of the things fell back there. Mic things? The wireless mic. Yeah, I think, is that what happened? Yeah, I think it fell behind. But it says his divine power has given us everything, right? So in the same way, you already have what you need. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? The problem is, where we usually get defeated is not because Satan attacked us. We usually get defeated is because we don't access the things that we already have. You already have strength. You already have that. That's why he says, my grace is sufficient. My power is made more perfect in weakness. Because the thing that usually destroys our strength is our strength. Think about it. The reason why I'm usually messed up is because of me. Right? I mean, when any of you want to get in an operating room, let's say the doctors were perfect. And as they're operating on you, you went, no, no, no. What I would do is I would do it this way. And when you cut me, could you cut me this way? And when you move, any of y'all do that? Anybody say that? I remember there was a doctor we had, and this one WebMD first came out, and the patient came in and said, I read this and I read that. And the doctor said, okay. And he climbed up on the gurney and laid on the bed. So you tell me exactly what to do, and I want to. And she said, touche. She said, thank you. She said, I need it. He was like, if you want to do WebMD, you're all the more. He was like, this is what I do. Allow me to do it. Now, I'm not saying doctors are perfect, but that's an example. In the same way, if God said he's given to us, then just trust in him. Where we mess up is he says he's given to us, and then we say, okay, so what do I do to make it faster? Or how do I access it the way I want to? Or how do I make it work? This is where encouragement comes in. His encouragement we already have. It says it encourages our hearts, so that means it makes our purpose in the right path if we depend on him. It strengthens us. So for those of us who say, I can't do it, how many of you have said, I can't do it, and woke up and you're still doing it? But you said you couldn't do it. You understand? That's because you're trusting him. And in every good, it says you in every good deed and word. But now if I'm not doing the good deeds and words, that's where I'm struggling. You understand? So his encouragement guides us in the right thing, and we have it. We all have access to it. Amen? Everybody has access to it. All Christians. God encourages those really in need. Okay? In Psalm 10:17-18, it says, you hear, O Lord, the desires of the afflicted. So he knows the ones who are really, and this is why when I say a prayer about those you see on the street and stuff like that, it says, you encourage them. Once again, if they choose to receive the encouragement. It says, and you listen to their cries. This is why all the more we can't enable. Do you understand this? If I enable, and God's part of God's thing is I'm going to provide work for you, but I'm too busy giving them money, guess what they won't hear? Y'all get this? However, there is a part I'm responsible for doing. So I still got to know how and when to give, and I still got to do my part. I don't just go, God will provide for you. God will, no, no, I look what I can do to help, but make sure I'm just helping. I'm not hurting. I got to help them in their burden, not in their responsibility. Everybody's responsible for their own load. So it says, he says, you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed. Okay, so he's the defense. Okay, you don't need me to do anything extra in order that man who is on earth may terrify no more. Some may say, well, how come I see the people still going through it? Because they're not depending on God. All this stuff is being done, but it's like that umbrella. If I hold an umbrella under the rain, a big giant umbrella, is anything under that umbrella getting wet? No. But if I step outside and hold an umbrella like that, am I getting wet? Absolutely. Is the umbrella still working? Yes. I'm just not under it. Exactly. Do y'all get this? He's still defending. He's still encouraging. We're just not being defended and being encouraged. Make sense? Okay, I'm giving an example. When the spies of Israel told Rahab, they said, tie, you know, the ribbon around your door and everybody must stay in there. And what did they tell them? Who's ever outside is doomed. You understand that? If you're outside, when we come back, you're in trouble. As long as you're inside, and we have the scarf tied on here, and we know not to touch it, nothing will touch your house, you'll be good, and everybody inside will be. Isn't that what they said? Was God protecting them if they would have gone outside? Yes, they would have been protecting them. They just weren't in that protection. Understand that. Remember, God didn't change. God said, I'm protecting them by you following my word. Stay inside the house. They choose to leave his protection. They're still being protected, but they chose not to be protected. I know it seems confusing. Y'all are looking at me like, why are you talking about Pastor? No, when we try to blame it as God took it away, as God's, no, he didn't stop protecting, did he? No. What did we do? We stepped outside as protection. Do y'all see the difference? All right. That's why we mess it up by going, God took it away. No. Still there. Stuff in his word, still the same. We chose to step over here when he said, this is what you do. And you're over there going, now give me that same thing. No. I'm still doing it. I'm still throwing it over here, and you're going over there. Why am I not getting any of it? Looking crazy and stupid while he said, I already gave you the answer. Does that make sense? Everybody get this, okay? And this is what we have to do. He encourages and he does all this stuff. So these are his promises. And understand, God also encourages us in discipline. This is a major part God disciplines us. Hebrews 12, 4 through 6 says, in your struggles against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. He's saying there are some who've gone through discipline to where they have just, I mean, they're bleeding and they're struggling and stuff like that. And it's still a discipline from God. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. Watch this. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Now, how do we know when he's disciplined? Huh? Those he loved, I know who. I say, how do I know when I'm, what is discipline when I'm going through discipline? No. It's in this actually same book, the same chapter. Verse 7. If you have your Bibles open, you look at Hebrews 12, verse 7. Somebody turn there real quick and read it. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Read what he says, Hebrews 12, verse 7. Somebody read it into the mic. How do I know when I'm going through discipline? Hardship. Did y'all read that? Read Hebrews 12, 7. He says, endure hardship as discipline. What'd you say? Trials and hardship. Okay, I'll give you that. Trials and hardship. All right. Endure hardship as discipline. He says he's disciplining you as sons. So as he goes on here in this verse right here, he's saying, wait, this came up. Here we go. So he says, the word of encouragement that is addressing your son. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. So when you go through hardship, what is discipline supposed to do? Discipline is a molding, right? You're going through it to do something. Do you understand? To do something to you. So when I go through a hardship, it's to do something to me. It's to mold me into something. Okay? It says, do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Do you understand that? He's saying, so when you're going through it, he's doing it to help you. Right now, more and more, we're disciplining our kids less and less. which means we're not molding our kids more. We're giving them more and more excuses. We're medicating them. We're allowing them to where they're growing up in this way of, I shouldn't have to do anything and I deserve everything. We're not allowing them to go through stuff. I mean, it's to the point where we're really not, we just don't hold them accountable for anything at all. Do you understand that? Okay? And this is why kids are picking easy way out. All right? They're picking, I'm just doing this and this. And we're going, well, they're really trying. No, they're not. Stop saying they're trying when they're not. Do you understand that? And I say that adamantly because you're killing them. And why I say you're killing them, because look what God does to us. Why does he have to say, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because it's not, you're not going to like it. The discipline we're supposed to give wasn't meant to like. It's to mold you for those who have been trained by it. Isn't that what it says at the end of Hebrews? Okay. It goes on and says, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. He punishes everyone he accepts as sons. Difference between discipline and punishment? There you go. Very good. All discipline is not punishment, but all punishment is. So when I give my child a curfew, is that punishment? No. To them, they might hate it, but it's giving them boundaries. But they didn't do anything wrong or right to get it. However, they come in late, then I tell them you can't go out tomorrow. Is that punishment? Yes. Both of them are discipline. But the first one was boundaries. You got to set boundaries. That's part of the discipline. The second part is you break this, you get punished. That's a part of the discipline. Those things are long gone nowadays. We kind of let them do what they want when they want to do it. They talk to parents like they want. We give no repercussions. We give nothing back to them. There's no discipline. God's saying, I'm still disciplining you. That's why we're going through hardships. We're like, why is God doing this to me? Instead of molding in it, learning from it. You need my encouragement to help you in God's encouragement. We keep praying for people to get out of hardships instead of learning in our hardships. Does that make sense? People usually come, they'll come for counseling because they want me to give them comfort out of it or to avoid the hardship. And I'm training them on, let me show you what the Bible says about being and learning from the hardship. Amen? Everybody got that? Okay? We will stop there. Any questions? All right. So we'll stop there, and God willing, we will start on the encouragement we receive from God should lead to our unity and selflessness. Correct? No, I'm way down there. Okay, never mind. When we praise God, he encourages us, right? Okay, that's where we're going to start off. All right, let us pray.